I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Hear now the reading of God's ancient words, Genesis 17, 1 through 7, 15, 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout the generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." So endeth the reading.
I want you to think about this. 99 years old, and he finds out he's going to be a father. Right? We know that Sarah was in her 90s, and she's going to be a mom. Is that not beyond belief? I mean, I ask you, if we have George Sr. here, at his age, if God said, "Your wife's going to have a baby," you care to tell us what you would do? Maybe you shouldn't. That's a it's an interesting thing to be as old as Abraham and find out that you're going to be a parent. And I want you to think about that in other terms, too, because here she is, she's going to have a baby, and if you're 99, you might be thinking, "I don't have much farther to go," right? Well, what if the baby's born and then I die? I never get to see my child grow. What if the baby's born and Abraham and Sarah both die? Who's going to take care of the baby? I mean, wouldn't that be something you might be thinking about at 99 years old? Will I ever see my child grow? That's what makes this story so amazing. And God steps in. He doesn't even give Abraham a chance to really ask those questions, because he steps right in and he begins to bless him and make a covenant with him and say, "Your child will grow, and your child and your child's child, and on and on and on, and I'm going to bless all of your descendants. I'm going to bless you." Now, that doesn't necessarily say how long they're going to live, but it's a good indicator that God's not going to abandon them, right? God's going to be there to watch Isaac grow, and Isaac's children, and their children, and God says, "I'm going to be there with you all of this time. You don't have to worry about a thing." And sometimes when I read this story, I used to travel quite a bit by plane. I was flying all over the United States at one point. And I got on this plane, and I got to the airport, and I got my boarding pass. And I heard these people talking, and it was one of the few times I realized there are people who don't have a boarding pass. They're on standby. You ever seen people on standby? And what happens is they keep walking up to the counter. "Well, am I going to get on? Am I going to get on? Am I going to get on?" And they're worried, and I don't blame them. They want on that flight, but they don't know if they're going to get on. And I'm sitting there with a boarding pass. I know I'm on that flight. See, if God hadn't have made that promise, Abraham and Sarah would have been wondering, "Am I going to get on board? I got to go to the counter here. I'm not sure. You say Sarah's going to have a baby. We're going to be parents, but am I going to be able to go on?" But God made sure that they knew they had their boarding pass. You are going to get to raise your child. You're going to be there, and I'm going to be with you. So again, if you were in your 90s and you're told that you're going to be a parent, that's got to be beyond belief. So much so that Sarah laughed. Did you read that part? When God said that, Sarah goes, yeah, right. Did you know that when God said you're going to name Isaac, that Isaac in Hebrew means laughing? Because you laughed, Sarah, you're going to name your child laughing, laughter, laugh. And she had a baby. And I feel quite certain at her age, she wasn't laughing very much longer. She's like, whoa, you really did that. So God made and makes covenants to alleviate any concern on our part. Always has. Do you remember the last covenant that God made with us? Jesus, here's my covenant. I'm going to love you. I'm going to forgive you. And my son's going to die for your sins. That's my covenant. I don't have to make any more. Because that's enough. It's a pretty sound covenant, isn't it? No one had to sacrifice a lamb or any of that. Just a human being. Just a human being. Well, God is amazing. God is amazing. God does things. God makes covenants. God does whatever it takes to ensure us, you are my creation, and I'm going to take care of you because of that. It's important to also note in this scripture that God not only told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a baby, he did one other thing that's really, really, really important. He changed their names. Because God believes that we need change. We as humans need to change. And I'm going to change you two from Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah because you're starting a new life. And that new life is having a child in your advanced years. So we're not going to just make one change. We're going to change all the way. We're going to change your names. We're going to say, you are a new creature. Which we now say, you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. Or a new life in Christ. God was doing that way back when. So there's a change. Have you ever heard that term? New creatures in Christ? New life in Jesus Christ? Well, God says, you're going to get a new life in me. A baby in their old age, if they didn't feel different, changed age-wise, they certainly did family-wise. Because they've been doing all of this without Sarah having their child. Have you ever had an event in your life that made you feel new? You came through some situation that just changed your life and made you a new person? And if you have, do you remember that feeling? One of the things, when I was 17 and I felt the call of God to be a minister, I felt different. I felt new. Then I got my draft notice. Then I joined the Navy. 7 years, part of that in Vietnam. And I'm telling you folks, the day they announced withdrawal of troops and that peace was coming, I took a deep breath, and I said, thank you. That was another moment of feeling new. I didn't know how long it was going on. I knew it had gone on for an awful long time, and I didn't see any end in sight. But the end did come, and I thank God every day for not having to see anyone killed or go through anything like that again. God does things that make us feel new. It may be that we get a degree. It may be that we get a new job. It may be that we live independently for the first time. Whatever it is, there are times in our lives when we say, wow, I feel new. It's a new life. Sometimes it's just a change of careers. Whatever it is, there's a feeling. You remember how God changed David? David the shepherd who suddenly goes up against Goliath and wins? Do you think that maybe David had a lot of confidence after that? Hey, pretty good, thanks. What about Paul, who was Saul, who was persecuting Christians? And Jesus says, no more. I'm calling you to ministry. And Paul saw the light, literally, and changed. New life, new way of living. It's really amazing what God can do and how God can change lives, and God does it all the time. But the question really needs to be also, I think, what was the agent of change? Do you recognize God when God does something like that? How many of you have ever seen a briar? Old briar. We have a lot of briars in Central Texas. There's a gardener. He goes out and he sees a briar and he digs it up. And the briar is thinking, why are you doing that? I'm not very good looking and I'm thorny and you wouldn't want me in your garden. But the gardener dug him up anyway, took the briar and put the briar in his garden. Then the gardener comes over and cuts a slit into the briar and opens it a little bit. Then the gardener comes back with part of a rose bush and grafts that into the briar. And eventually the briar begins to bloom roses. The briar says, wow, that's pretty amazing. I'm growing roses. And the gardener says, remember. Remember. It's not what grows out of you, it's what I put in you. And that's God's message to us. It's not what grew out of Abraham and Sarah, it's what God put in them. And all too often we forget that God is so good about putting things in our hearts and minds, and oftentimes we ignore what God gives us. Noah didn't understand why his family was chosen. Abraham certainly didn't understand. Do you remember the discussions that Abraham had with God? Do you remember when he argued with God going to Sodom and Gomorrah? And he says, what do you mean if there's not 100 that you'll kill them? What if I find 90? What if I? And he talks him all the way down to one. And God says, if you find one person who is faithful, I'll save him. Abraham didn't understand. But thank goodness he had the wherewithal to at least discuss. When I was a candidate for ordination, I was talking to the board and the people who would be doing the ordination service. And this was shortly after getting out of Vietnam. And I made the comment to them, I said, you know, if you knew how unworthy I am, you would not do this. And the man in charge, who was going to actually do the service, looked at me and he said, if you knew how unworthy I am, you wouldn't let me. We all feel unworthy. But God says you are worthy. Abraham, you are worthy. You may be 99 years old, but you're going to have a child and you're going to see to it that that child grows and his children grow and the children beyond that, because you are worthy of God's love. Now, we heard a term, I heard Tim say this in his prayer, and I think that it's an important thing for us to keep in mind. We may feel that we don't deserve it, but we're worthy. And you know why we're worthy? Because through Jesus Christ, we were made worthy. And when we begin to think that we're not worthy, we need to look and see what the Scripture says, because God says, I'm sending my Son to die for you. That makes you worthy. You can feel like you don't deserve it, but you're certainly worthy of it because you are God's child. And that will never change. So the covenant is made. And we see that Abraham is standing there at 99 years old, and he cannot believe that he's going to be a father. But God not only changed their names, he changed their entire lives. And he changed our lives. God is an agent of change. And that change oftentimes is beyond belief. But it's true. Remember this. God never says at no point anywhere to Abraham or to us when Jesus comes, I demand that you accept my covenant. Never said it. I demand that you accept my son Jesus Christ. I demand it. He just said, I'm doing it. And you can choose to accept or not accept. But I think it would behoove you to accept. Because I'm the great God of change, the great God of love, and I'm going to be there for you. And if that isn't enough, I don't know what could be. That I'm willing to sacrifice my only son for you. So it says in our scripture, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come to you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. If that isn't an insurance policy, I don't know what is. I don't know that you can get a better policy than that. And nowhere in there is he saying, or just remember, if you don't do the right things, I'm going to abandon you. I'm doing it. And I'm going to be with you through it. And so at 99 years old, Abraham stands before God and says, wow, can't believe this. Can't believe that at 99, you're going to tell me that I'm going to be a parent. Now, how many of us here at this time in our lives feel like God is with us? How many of us here right now feel that God, at this point in our lives, can change us? God doesn't point out to you that there's no age limit on change, that there's no age limit on the surprises God can give you. You need to read it again. It's a pretty amazing thing. God allowed us to continue in the name of his son. But he's still the agent of change. I read this story and I wanted to share it because honestly, I think some of us may be like this. Now, I know when I read it, you're going to say, not me. But think about it. This guy went out and bought a radio. He lived in Tennessee. He got that radio, he took it home, he set it on top of the refrigerator, and he set it for the Grand Ole Opry station, which just happens to be WSM. And after he set that radio station where he wanted it, he pulled all the knobs off. And then he sat down, because nobody's going to change his radio. He had it exactly where he wanted it. Folks, we are like that. We set our knobs. This is the way I want to be. I'm going to be like this. I'm going to be tough, or I'm going to be stern, or I'm going to be whatever. And God says, I want to change you. And here's the trick. We have to allow God to change us. Once again, God's not going to make you, but he's going to offer you change. And when he offers you change, don't pull the knobs off. Let God change you. If you think you're an unhappy, dispirited individual, let God change that. Don't go through life wishing you were different. Let God make you different. Don't pull the knobs off. Don't say to yourself, well, I'm just a grumpy old person and I don't care. Say to God, God, I don't want to be like this. Do your magic. Work in my life and change me as you did Saul to Paul, as you did Abram to Abraham. God's an agent of change, and he can do it. If you make up your mind that you don't want to change, God's not going to force you. But I can assure you that if you don't change, you can have a very unhappy life. Let me give you some examples. There are people who will never forgive. They're not. I'm not forgiving. They wronged me. God says, forgive. You remember my son that was hung on the cross? I forgave. What's your problem? If you say, there are people in this world that I just can't love, God says, not true. I love you. I even love those 12 disciples. I love the 11 when they were locking doors and they wouldn't let people in and they wouldn't go out and preach the word that my son gave them. I still love them. What's your problem? It's all too often the case that we don't want to change. But God's there. And God watches us. And in spite of ourselves, God loves us. Don't think for a minute that Abram didn't make mistakes. He did. Go back and read the story. He made a lot of mistakes. God still loved him. Moses made mistakes. God still loved him. And yes, David made mistakes, and he was still the greatest king ever. Remember Bathsheba? Call her husband Uriah the Hittite. I'm going to send him out and get him killed because I want her. If God forgave that, what's God going to do for you? Openness is essential, and it is essentially the willingness to grow. Willingness is essentially what helps us grow. We have to be willing to change. We have to be open to what God has for us, and that's what's going to make the difference. A distaste for ruts and sameness, eagerly standing on our tiptoes to get a better view, is what we need so that we can say, oh yeah, yeah, I need to change. You're right. Work on me, Lord. Change my heart. Stay open to newness. Stay open to change. Why? Because when we are open to change, when we are open to God, we can be changed beyond belief. Literally, beyond belief. Just like Abraham and Sarah, if we are open to that change, you will be surprised, if not amazed, at what God can do with your life. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you are an agent of change. We give you thanks that you're a God who loves in spite of the things that we do. We give you thanks that you are a God who is willing to work with us, to love us, to fill us with your Spirit. And we ask that you do that now. For those things that we need to change, Lord, let us be open to you that it may happen. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.